Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And always, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to come before the people of God with a word from God for his people. I pray that everyone had a wonderful week. And if there's anything that you have been asking God for, he did sign, seal, and deliver. I want you to know tonight, our lesson is coming from the book of Ezekiel, which Ezekiel was one of the four major prophets. And we're still in a book of the prophets. And we decided in the beginning of the year that we would do the Bible book by book. So tonight we're in the book of Ezekiel, which is the 19th book in the Bible. We know that the Old Testament have 39 books and the New Testament have 27 books. So with God's help, we're going to be them went through the whole Bible, one book a week. I will not be able to give you everything in the book within the hour that we share in the book, but I pray that it open up your mind and your heart that you would want to go and research and find out other things that's in it, and that book will become less intimidating to you, and you will have some knowledge of the book. Our lesson tonight, the title of it is, God Can Make Your Dry Bones Come to Life. Your dry bones come to life. As we go through the lesson, you'll understand exactly what that means. And we're going to be in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 14. I also asked you guys if you would read the 13th chapter, because the 36th chapter and the 37th, because they kind of connection. One talk about what God wanted to do, and one, the next book gave an illustration for Ezekiel to know what God was truly saying. So as always, I'm going to play a song, and I think this song is so appropriate because when God used the prophets, besides the fact that they prophesied, saw visions, dreams, talked in parables, their purpose was to let the people know who God really is, and that he's just, and he do also judge. So we keep that in mind as we go through the lesson today, and I think it's going to get you to a place that you understand who God is even more. So I'm going to play this song, and it's called Right in the Middle. And listen to that song, because, you know, the songwriter says, even when you can't hear God's voice, just trust his playing, because he's God and he truly understands. Be prayerful and listen. We're going to come back, go to the throne of grace, and we're going to get into the lesson.
Sometimes it seems hard to see I care for you. Sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up. Don't give in, I'm right there in the middle. Yeah, yeah, thank God I'm right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day. Oh,
that song is something for us to really think about. He even spoke about when we didn't know right from wrong, God was there. He even spoke about, you know, when everybody walked out on you. And you know, it's just beautiful. God is saying, and he said, when you don't hear my voice, trust my plan. And you can't trust God's plan if you don't know his plan. And his plan is in the word of God. That's why we are told to study, to show ourselves approved. Workmen need not be ashamed to rightfully divide the word of truth. And at this time, we got to go to the throne of grace. And as always, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button. And I'll open the mic up for you to pray. If not, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. We come to your throne of grace, asking for mercy, peace, joy, long-suffering, and that you guide us in our faith. Dear God, we know that there's no name above the name of Jesus. The scripture says that every mouth's going to confess and every knee will bow. But right now, dear God, we come into you on behalf of words of wisdom. As we begin to explore your word tonight, I ask that the Holy Ghost have his way. I ask that you know the desires of each person's heart that called, and that you will allow them to receive what they're looking for. God, I pray that your word don't return void. And I pray that everyone receives something that they could hold on to, that could build them up if they're toned down. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon each and every one of us individually and collectively. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Well, our lesson tonight, as I said before, God can make your dry bones come to life. And we're coming from Ezekiel. Who have your Bibles, go to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 4. As always, we have to give a little background. I want you to know that Ezekiel was the author of the book that carries his name. Ezekiel names mean God will strengthen. He was a priest carried into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we did Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, and now we're doing Ezekiel. I pray that you understand that all of these are directed and given concerning the same situation of the Israelites in reference to God. You know, Isaiah prophesied that, you know, God was going to allow them to go in captivity, and that's the captivity we're talking about tonight as well. You know, and then Jeremiah came back and said what God was going to do concerning their disobedience and their idolatry. You know, the people was doing everything and anything that was right in their own mind. You know, they had turned their backs on God, and they had begun dabbling and doing all kind of things. You know, their hearts was turning cold against God and his will, his way. And God, as we know, is a jealous God. And God kept warning them over and over and over again. So we in the books of prophets, so you have to realize why God used prophets to warn the people about, and not only warn them, but show them their condition and let them know, you know, I'm not gonna tolerate this all the time. But you see, God does not keep his people in the dark. God kept telling them, you know, you're disobedient. And he allowed Isaiah, the first prophet we studied, Jeremiah, the second prophet. And then when we went to Lamentation was a poem and a song that we believe Jeremiah is the author, though some believe that he may not be. But it was a poem, a song that an author wrote as he described what happened when God judgment come down. And you see what I just said just now with Nebuchadnezzar. See, God used a pagan king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar to be able to overthrow the Jews for their disobedience. You know, and last week when we did Lamentation, the author was saying how devastated it was and how much oppression they were under because God had allowed the king Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to take them in capture, to take them into captivity. So tonight we're on Ezekiel, and God is still, you got to realize that the Bible is not always in chronological order, but you got to realize that God is talking to these men of God, his prophets, to warn the people what would happen, to tell the people what was going on now and how distasteful it is. And he also always gave a prophecy and message of hope. So I hope that little bit keep you, you know, right where we are. You know, if you know, we did Isaiah and then we did Jeremiah and we did Lamentation and now we're on Ezekiel. You know, I hope that you're keeping up with the books, and not that you know everything in the book, but keep up with the book where you realize what is God's purpose for allowing these 17 books of prophecy to be included in the Word of God. So I hope that helped, and we could just keep walking alone, and we could appreciate God. And I want to tell you this, all of the prophecy that he gave to those people is things he have for you as well. How he told them, I'm going to deliver you out of the hands of the evil ones for you. How he said, it might be gloom and doom right now, but when I come, I'm going to turn all of the situations around, because all of these weapons that's forming against you, they're not going to prosper. See, the word of God, even though it's a book of prophecy and the word of God is saying this or that, you have to ask yourself, I'm being used right now. But you have to ask yourself, what is God saying to you? Why did he allow that to come in the book? And then you could see how you could apply it in your life, and you could see how the God you served operates. Because you see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. He spoke to his prophets for his people. He allowed them to see the burning bush, and he allowed Moses' face to come with a glow. You know, God was right there, you know, with his people. You know, but in the New Testament, God lives inside of his people. So if you really want to know how God operates, how God is, what God wants for you, you have to visit the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So as we read and hear and see what these prophets was told by God personally, for the people, that was his people then, the Jews, the promised people. But you the promised person now, because when we accepted Christ, he engrafted us in. Hallelujah. So the lesson tonight is Ezekiel. And Ezekiel wrote this lesson. Now the difference with Ezekiel and his prophets, his ministry of prophets, prophecy, God showed a lot of things to Ezekiel in visions. Whereas the other prophets, he told, you know, he met them and he did different things. He could have gave them visions too, and sometime he worked in dreams. But most of Ezekiel, what he received from God was done in a vision. You see, the nature of prophecy, or the method by which he exercised or manifested his prophets, his poetic gifts, different from the other prophets because of the visions. You know, much of the book of Ezekiel is in character similar to the book of Revelation. I'm giving you a tidbit, and I hope you take it and you run with it. Everything you get, you know, when you get the word of God, you hear the word of God, it's how you receive it that makes the difference. After you receive the word of God, you should meditate, and then you should want to explore further. But if you just take it and don't think about it and don't do anything with it, I guarantee you, you're going to lose it. It's not going to take root. You know, when God called Ezekiel, he told Ezekiel in a vision, he showed him a scroll. Because, you know, back then they didn't have Bibles. It was written on a scroll. And he told him, take this. It was in a vision. It's in the first and second chapter if you want to go back and look at it. He said, take this and eat it. You know, this was in a vision. He said, so it could get inside of you. You know? You know how they say if you read the word of God, it's good. So that was kind of like what he said, just take it and eat it and digest it. And that's the same thing he's asking us to do. Isaiah was one of the ones, because Isaiah was a priest when God called him to be a prophet. And Isaiah, like I said earlier, is a major prophet. And there's major and minor prophets, 17 prophets, four of them are major and the rest of them are minor prophets. One is no better than other because God had a unique message for each one of them. But what make major major is that they have more writings than the other prophets. You see, the purpose of the book, this book Ezekiel, is a threefold. Number one, it explained that Judah must be judged for disobedience. That's the same thing in all of the rest of the books. The judgment on Judah, or the judgment on Jerusalem. It was to encourage the remnants. And you know, in the Bible, whenever you see the remnants, that those are the people that held on to the confession of their faith, even though in the midst of a trial. And God said there are always remnants, just like we in this world, but not of this world. You know, can we be a remnant with everything being so crooked these days? Hallelujah. With everything and everybody doing what seems right in their own mind, can you be counted as a remnant and do what thus said the Lord? But the second part was to encourage the remnants, and that was those who would listen, of Judah through prophecy of her glorious future resurrection. You see, even though Ezekiel had a message of judgment, he also had a message of restoration. You know, just as hard as God can be, he could be equally as soft. We have to remember that God loves us, and it's God's desire that all of us be saved. And God wants to take care of us, but we have to cooperate. Y'all know when we was doing wrong and doing anything and doing it any kind of way, God still showed up. So what more you think he'll do for you when you doing the best you can towards him? Every book of prophecy had damnation and doom and gloom, but also each one of them had some writings of hope. God gonna take care of his. He said, for earthly father who have a sin nature because of Adam can do good things for his children. He said, what more you think I'll do? Hallelujah. So if we look at the scriptures tonight, and if you got your Bibles, and if you don't have your Bible, because maybe you think you don't need it, or maybe you don't feel like getting it, or maybe you don't have one, you know, you want to just sit and listen. But if you have a Bible, go to Ezekiel 37. And I'm going to read the first, second, and third verse. The first, second, and third verse. And the scripture reads as follows. Now, this is a vision that God has given to Ezekiel. And if you read chapter 36 as I, you know, had posted, and the reason I did it, because the 36th chapter talked about how God was going to restore them. That was the message of hope. You know, in the 36th chapter, he said, you know, I got you, you know, I'm going to take care of you. But you got to always remember it is on God's time and not ours. But God always shows up and shows off. And in the end, we have the victory. So we got to the 37th chapter. And remember what I'm saying. This is a vision that God took Ezekiel to and through. And the first verse said, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." 2 said, "And he caused me to pass around about, and behold, there were very many bones," I'm saying that, "in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel answered, he said, "O Lord, thou know it." I want you to know that this is a vision that Ezekiel received, and it's called, and it happened in the Valley of the Dry Bones. It's called the Valley of the Dry Bones. You see, God called Ezekiel, and I want to make this emphasis because all through the book of the book of Ezekiel, when God addressed Ezekiel, he called him Son of Man. And it was used over 95 times in his book. And the only other time he used it was with Daniel and Jesus. But what he was saying, he was reminding Ezekiel by giving him so many visions, he didn't want him to get the big head and believe he was, you know, could get puffed up now. Because I done been in the presence of God and I seen these visions and all of this. So every time God called him Son of Man, he was letting him know, you know, I'm superior, you're just a man that I decided to use. Don't that sound good, y'all? God has to let us know and put us in our place sometime. And God loves us and he gives us supernatural things that we accomplish sometimes, but we are only human. See, Ezekiel was being reminded of his humanity, especially when he was permitted to have contact with God. Ezekiel's vision in the Valley of the Dry Bones came to him after God had directed him to prophesy the rebirth of Israel in chapter 36. And that's the reason I asked you to do 36. He gave him the prophecy of how he was going to rebirth them, how he was going to restore them. And then he gave and went to the next chapter, and he gave Ezekiel the vision of the dry bones to show him exactly what he could do with a rebirth process. Come on, y'all, get in here with me now. You see, God announced through the prophet that Israel will be restored to her land in blessings under the leadership of David. That's in there, and it's in Ezekiel in the 24th chapter, which we stopped at the 14th. My servant who will reign over thee clearly is a reference to the future under Jesus Christ, the Messiah, descendant of David. I tell y'all all the time, everything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation points to Jesus Christ. However, this promise seemed impossible to them because of their present condition. Y'all remember Lamentation? The sickness, the disease, the dying, the captivity, being under siege, running out of food, people eating their children. Come on, y'all. That was last week, Lamentation. He's talking about doing all of this time as well. She said she was dead, talking about Jerusalem, as a nation, deprived of her land, her king, and her temple. The beautiful temple that King Solomon had built, it was destroyed under this, during this time. So they no longer had the beautiful Ephesus that Solomon had built. It was all destroyed. And, you know, the people was divided and it was in despair. But God told him that he would restore, even though it seemed impossible to them. And just like the song I played tonight, you know, God says, you know, the song that said, God is always in the middle. Yet it was going through. But God hadn't left them, because if he wasn't concerned, he wouldn't have sent Ezekiel. And that's what God is doing in our lives. We may seem we out there by ourselves. We may seem there is no way to turn. But if you look back over your life and you really think things over, you can truly say that you are blessed. God has brought you through over and over and over. And he brought you through many dangers seen, but the ones unseen, you can't even bless him for them because you didn't know he protected you. Hallelujah. So he gave him the vision of the dry bones. Now, this is what happened. We're in the fourth verse. Now I'm going to read, and I'm going to read all the way through the 10th. And he said, again, this is Ezekiel saying, again he said unto me, Ezekiel is saying, God said unto him, prophesy upon these bones, and say to them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. 5, thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. Now, this is a vision, and he in a valley, and it's nothing but dry bones, and they say they're very dry because they've been there long. God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bone what he would tell him. This is what the scripture is saying. And then God said, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you should live. 6, and I will lay sense you. And watch this, how sweet this is. You know, when I saw that word, I had to look it up so it could become real to me. And S-I-N-E-W-S, I looked it up, and they said that that was a strong tissue. It's a real word, and it's a strong tissue that connects muscles to bone. How you like that? He'd say it, God said, I will lay sinew upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am God. How you like that, y'all? 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. That's Ezekiel. And as I prophesied, watch this. He said there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And they said, and when I beheld, lo, the sinew, talking about that tissue that holds the bones together, had got on the bones, and it had them put the bones together. What they say, bone to his bone. It start connecting the bones. Come on, y'all. Can you picture that? And Ezekiel is looking at this in a vision. And after the bones connected with the sinew and the bones connected to the bones, and the part, next part of the scripture say, and the flesh came upon them. Hallelujah. So they was dry bones. They connected with the sinew between them. Come on, y'all. And then after they did that, flesh covered them. You can't see the awesomeness of God. The flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. 9. Then said he, Ezekiel said, then he, God said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And I skipped this. Thou said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. You see, God was telling them, just like if I can make these dry bones come to life, I can restore Israel. I can restore Judah. I can restore Jerusalem. But you got to cooperate. You see, God transported Ezekiel, probably not literal, but in a vision, to the valley full of dry bones and directed him to speak to the bones. Ezekiel was to tell the bones that God would make breath into the bones, and they would come alive, just as the creation of man when God breathed life into Abraham. Ezekiel obeyed the prophecy, and immediately there was noise, shaking, and bones came together. The sinew was placed between the bones, and flesh developed. Come on, y'all. But there was no breath. This gives us a glimpse of the omnipotent of God. God has all power over dry bones, over the wind, over skin, over flesh. Hallelujah. God is everywhere at the same time. You see, when we read this and you see this, you can see the omnipotence, the omnipresence, and the omniscience of God. God knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time, and he has all power in his hand. You see, God told him to prophesize. He said, talk to the wind. And the winds, they say four winds. The reason for them saying four winds, because that was north, south, east, and west. That was the circumference of the whole earth. God could do that. You see, all out of all creation and everything that God created, everything obeys God's command. Here we see the wind obeyed. But man is the only part of God's creation that tried to have it their own way. You see, the dry bones received the command and stood on their feet as a great army. These prophecies were given to Ezekiel to give hope to the Jews, God's chosen people. In other words, God let him know, if I can do this with these dry bones, imagine what I could do for you. Even though they were in captivity. And look why they was in captivity, because of their idolatry behavior and their disobedience. God didn't allow. I know you guys know that nothing can happen in this world, hallelujah, unless God orchestrated or allow it. And God does not go around finding ways to punish you. Come on, y'all. When Jesus died, he said that he was taking away the sins of the world. And he said it, you could believe it. God say when he look at you, he can only see his son. But you also got to remember, and I like to kind of say it, you know, like this. Jesus said, or Jesus would say to us if we had the opportunity to ask, he said, yeah, I took away your sins, but you're going to have to live with your consequences. See, they was in captivity and they was taken over. And even with that, and why I have to say, and this is the greatest example, but nothing can happen unless God orchestrated or allow it. There were many times that they went into battle and God would not allow the enemy to overtake them. God prophesied that he would allow the king of Babylonian to overtake them because of their sin that was stated in the prophecy. Come on, y'all. And God had told them. So God allowed the king Nebuchadnezzar to capture them. He and Matt and you just could see the setup. God used everything that he created for his glory. It was time for punishment. It was time for them to get their beatings like a disobedient child. God allowed the king Nebuchadnezzar to come and subdue them, take them in captivity, and they became slaves in the land of Babylonian, in the land of Babylon, by the Babylonians for 70 years. But after 70 years, if we keep reading, and if you know the story, that's not how the story ends. You know, after 70 years, God went and he saved them. You know, just like when they was in Egypt for all of those years. What they said was, you know, all of those years they was in Egypt. But when God got ready and he heard their cry, God sent Moses and said, go get my people. So you could see even with them being in Egypt, and you could see them being captured by the Babylonians, how God always show up and deliver his people out of the hands of the enemy. But when you read the Bible, once he deliver them, after a while they listening and praising, and then not so long after they go back to doing the same thing they did before. And I'm talking about in the Old Testament. With God parting the Red Sea and allow the death angels to pass over their doors. Come on, y'all. When they was hungry, he fed them. Their clothes didn't wear out. So they was in captivity because of their disobedience. And now judgment was upon them. But God is here in these verses giving them prophecy of hope. And if we read 11 through 14, it said, then he said unto me, son of man. There's, you know, that's said over 90-something times in this book. You know, by God said he will never do anything that allow man to boast. Because if man get the big head and boast, you're taking away the glory. And everything God created and everything he does is for his glory. That's why when we have to, when God does things in our lives and elevates us or send us or give us a gift or decide to allow us to work in a ministry or to be a servant, we have to give him the praise, because God does not like anybody taking his praise. So to keep Ezekiel humble, he said, son of man. And 11 said, he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now he's giving, you know, explanation. He said, these bones represent Israel, the Jews, the Israelites. Behold, they say, my bones are dry and my hope are lost. We are cut off for our parts. 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. I'm going to bring you back to your land and I'm going to restore it. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. See, God is doing all this so they can know who he is. You know, all of the things that God did in your life, and you know it couldn't be nobody but God. Did you give him the praise, and do you you know, you're loving for that, and do it make you try to be a little better tomorrow than you were today? You know, and then the scripture is going to say, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and 14 say, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that day, say it again, that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, said the Lord. Now that's sweet. That's sweet. You see, the vision, this vision that he gave him symbolized the whole house of Israel, that they were in captivity, like unburied skeletons. The people were in a state of living dead. They felt like they was just dead men walking. You ever been like that in your life, just going through the motion? Don't have nothing to look forward to. Going through something that seems you can't shake. And I'm sure you had many times like that in your life, but just as he did then and brought you through them all, he's willing and he's able. You see, it seemed like there was no end to their judgment in sight. They thought their hope was gone and they was cut off forever. The surviving Israelites, because many of them died, y'all, felt, you know, we be talking now how we got so many deaths. If I could give you the record of how many people was dying, you would say, wow. So this was the surviving Israelites felt their nation hope had been dashed and the nation had died in the flames of the Babylonians' attack with no hope of resurrection. See, God's going to always bring you hope, but, you know, even us and things going on in our lives, and, you know, it may seem like a little bad, but God has given you hope. But you see, if you don't know your voice, you can't hear him. If you don't know his plan, you can't trust it. Come on now. If you're not cooperating with the Holy Ghost, he can't lead you. God's going to always do his part. You see, here God let them know that I will restore you, take away your suffering, renew your spirit, and you shall live again and place you back in your own land. You see, in our lives, there have been, and if it haven't been, keep living, because it probably will be, suffering, sickness, financial problems, problems in our home, problems on a job, problems with our children. All these are dry bones. Come on, y'all. But God giving a message of restoration. We also have hurt and despair. But just as God spoke to Ezekiel, he's speaking to us tonight. No matter what you're going through, no matter how it looks, no matter how it tastes, no matter how it feels, God is saying help is on the way. You see, God can take those dry bones in your life and put them together again so that you can have life and life more abundantly. You know what Jesus said? I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God already sent his son. And that's going to be eternal. We have to remember, no matter what we're going through, God will see us through. But we are not afforded the privilege to create the timetable. And it's never our will, but his will be done. Keep in mind, God does not make no mistakes. You see, just as God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, it's the same thing that God is telling all of us. And it reads, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, to the prophet, when we studied last week, Jeremiah, God told him, because Jeremiah didn't think he was adequate to do the job, plus he was young. But God called who he want, when he want, how he want, for whatever he want. If God is calling you, you know, don't let Satan come in and rob you by telling you your inadequateness. God know what he made. And God uses all kind of people. He used 40 people to write the book that he inspired. And it was from all walks of life. Come on now. If y'all study in the Bible, you know that. Matthew was a tax collector. Peter cussed all the time and had a temper that just wasn't there. He even allowed Judas to be a part of the plan, even though he knew he was a thief and a betrayer. Come on, because you see, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. God has a master plan, and you included in it. But you got to trust him. You see, even though they was in captivity, living in Babylon for 70 years, they were treated as columnists and not as slaves. You know, they was doing, some of them, not everybody, some of them, they increased in numbers and accumulated great wealth. And some of them rose to high office. You see, and so now they're in Babylon, and they're taking on Babylon style, and they're probably doing, working towards doing what the Babylonians do, which was the reason that they was in captivity in the first place. How ironic. You know, but God, the record that I played earlier, it says God is right in the middle of it. And I want you to know this was part of the same period. Like with Esther. Esther was in Babylonia. But you know the story. She became a queen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a part of that same captivity. But God raised them to power. And Daniel. So, you know, even... You know, this lets us know that God never left them, and he'll never leave you, because the Bible says God will never leave us. Even in the midst of their captivity, in the midst of their trials and tribulation, and even their suffering, which God had allowed because of their disobedience, he was still there. Working it out together for their good. Can you trust him? And I'm going to close with this tonight. And I want you to keep this in mind. God never sets us up to fail. And as we could see clearly tonight, that wherever God guides, he provides. I want you to know provisions is also provided in your suffering. Provisions are also provided in your trials and your tribulations. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is telling me right now, probably the reason for that is because even though you're going through the provisions of God, he wants you to see him to help you come out. You know, your trials and tribulation, they might have wore you out, but they didn't kill you. Provisions are always attached, but you have to believe it to achieve it. And as I said earlier, help is on the way. So tonight, you must let go and let God. You have to give him your all for all of him. And the Bible teaches us that he will see us through. He will see us through. That's our lesson for tonight. And if always, if someone want to pray, give words of encouragement, want to ask for prayer for someone, you can press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. I believe someone, and you know, I'm going to tell y'all this. See, when I ask if anybody want to say something, it's not that I want to put anybody on the spot. But you see, when God uses me to open the door for you guys to pray, give words of encouragement, or add to the lesson, or ask a question, that opportunity is presented by God. This is a forum that God has created. And he know each and every one of you. He know your heart. He know your mind. He know what you need. So believe me, I'm only affording the opportunity to you, but it comes from God. So if anyone have a prayer request, anyone want to ask a question, add to a takeout. It is now 9:28, and I want to ask you guys to pray for the family of Benita Washington. Benita Washington is one of our Wednesday night followers that has been with us for a very long time, and many times we ask for prayer for her. I want to let you to know tonight she has gone home. And so I'm asking that you pray for her family. And I thank God for allowing me to know Benita, because Benita was sick for a while. She never complained. She never mumbled. She never grumbled. She was still trying with every little strength that she had to do something for God. She couldn't do very much. And before she was so sick, she used to send encouragements and words of hope to people. And she said, well, this is something I could still do. And I believe even up until her death, Benita was still sending out encouragement, words of comfort to everybody that she knew was either sick or, you know, if they had family members that died. And that was good for me to see, because Benita never stopped. They say the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. Benita showed me that. And I'm going to miss my friend. But I know one thing. God is going to be able to say, servant, well done. That's our lesson for tonight. And since no one have any requests or anything, but pray for Benita's family. And y'all continue to pray for each other and pray for me as I pray for you. So I'm going to just do a benediction tonight, and we're going to close the program for tonight. And it's my desire, and this scripture is in the book of Peter, 2 Peter, I think 3:11, so you can look it up. And my desire, as well as it was Peter's desire when he wrote that scripture, that you grow in grace. Can you imagine how it is when you grow in grace? Have you ever thought about grace and what it really meant? And if God, if grace is sufficient and you have some grace, and if you just grow in it, if you just live in it and you just depend on it, God says it's not predicated on what you could do. It's predicated on what he has done. So tonight I say grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now and forevermore. And if you touch and agree, let the church say amen. That's our program for tonight. And after Ezekiel in the Bible, I think it's Daniel. So that will be our lesson tonight. Soon as I get a word from the Lord, which chapters he wants you to read and what verses he wants us to expound upon, I'll give you that message. But that's the book we're in, because we're doing each book in the Bible. If there are any new people that's calling in, that's the program for tonight. God loves you, and so do I. And you just be blessed, because God is in the middle of everything that's going on in your life. Be blessed.